Thy mercy, my God, is the theme of
welcome, friends, to another broadcast of Morsels for Zion's Poor.
We see the mercy of God demonstrated as He would manifest the sin nature of men in order to display the glory of His grace and mercy in the redemption of that people which He chose in Christ from before the foundation of the world. How glorious does the redeeming work of Christ appear as He put on the likeness of sinful flesh in order to be made an offering for their sin and to give them an inheritance which He purchased with His own blood that they could in no wise have ever attained to. We often hear some speculate on what would have happened if Adam had never sinned. This is a foolish speculation, much like wondering what would happen if water ran uphill. Adam was not part of a failed experiment, but rather a means whereby the glory of Christ might be magnified in the earth. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Forasmuch then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. Long before the Israelites ever asked to have a king like the other nations, the Lord had already set forth various prohibitions which were to be the guide of whoever became their king. The Lord told Samuel that the real cause of Israel's desire for a king was because the people had rejected him. And the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. Such is the nature of man. About 400 years elapsed between the Lord's commands in Deuteronomy and the reign of Saul as the first king of Israel. As we read of the various kings which subsequently ruled Israel, we find none of them that obeyed these precepts completely. And we find one king in particular who blatantly fell prey to all of those things which the Lord commanded them not to do. In order to demonstrate the folly of even the wisest of men, the Lord gave to David a son who would succeed him, and who would even be the one privileged to build the temple of God in Israel. And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much, and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east country, and all the wisdom of Egypt, for he was wiser than all men. Yet Solomon went the way of all flesh and despised the way of God, even turning a deaf ear to one of his own proverbs, there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. The Lord told the kings not to multiply horses, yet we read that Solomon had 40,000 horses. The Lord told them that the reason they should not do this was so that they would not be tempted to return to Egypt. Yet Solomon received tribute from the nations that bordered Egypt. He told them that they should not multiply wives, that is, practice polygamy. Yet that is exactly what Solomon did, as we read that he had 1,000 wives and concubines, even taking Pharaoh's daughter to be his wife. He also amassed a fortune in silver and gold in direct disobedience to that which the Lord had prescribed. In fact, he had so much gold that it made silver to be of little worth. Now we are sure that in and of themselves the Lord did not regard horses or their possession as being evil, even as he did not utterly condemn the practice of polygamy, nor does he regard gold as being a wicked treasure. The prohibition of these things is given to these kings because the Lord would have men to recognize the wickedness of their hearts, as it is bound in the heart of man to abuse those things which God has given for the benefit of men. Paul said, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Solomon is the poster child for excess being that which leads to destruction and sorrow. His horses and the strength of his army was a source of pride. His wives ultimately led him to idolatrous worship. And he learned all too late that gold and the possessions of this world are vanity. All that man desires in the flesh is corrupt. To illustrate the impossibility of men to enter the kingdom of God by their own way, the Lord used the folly of the wisest man on earth to illustrate man's innate corruption. May the Lord impress upon our hearts what Paul declared, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Christ is all. Do you desire his righteousness, or are you content with your own?
For a free CD containing 15 of these radio broadcasts, send an email to forthepoor@windstream.net.